This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Hi, welcome to Diversity Dispatch, your local queer and rainbow podcast. Hello, hello, welcome back to another episode of Diversity Dispatch with Miles and Samuel.
Samuel.
I keep, like, in my head saying, like, it's not your name, but Samuel from the Bible.
Samuel was also in the Bible.
Yeah, but I wasn't raised religious, so.
Oh. I was. My grandfather was a minister.
See, I don't even know, like, what ranking that means, like.
He was an Anglican minister.
That means nothing to me. Anyway, 2 weeks ago, if you will recall, we were talking about video games.
Yes, we were. We were, indeed.
We were talking about video games 2 weeks ago and definitely not 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, yeah. Off the back of us having played video games.
Yes.
We had a video game night.
We need to do that more. The first one was interrupted by Jazz Night.
Yeah. And no, there was another one that we tried as well.
I think we never actually got around to doing that, though, because...
Anyway,
we didn't call it a video game night, I don't think.
Yeah, we played video games.
Mm.
Or actually, no, we did play two, didn't we? Yes, it was plural. Anyway, we can count. Samuel can
video
count.
Games.
One, two, there we go. We played Jurassic Park Lego.
Lego Jurassic Park.
I do love the Lego games.
As a kid, I would play Lego Harry Potter, Lego Indiana Jones, Lego Batman. It was either Batman or DC Villains. I think it might have been Batman. And I think those were the three Lego games that I mainly played.
Yeah. I've got Lego Lord of the Rings on my DS. My brother got it for me for Christmas, but it's really hard to play because it's not like full 3D like on the Switch or anything like that. But yeah, I have got Lego Harry Potter and I got stuck. So the next time...
We should play that.
So you can help me.
I want to make you play Until Dawn.
I know. We'll get around.
It's just because it's a long game and it's not really one that you can be like, oh, we'll just do a little bit. Like you have to sit down and play it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, like, you lose the story and then it gets confusing and then you don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah. No, that's fine. Yeah.
I'm dying.
Oh, no. Please help don't me. Die.
Father, help. Do I get the voice right?
Yeah, I think so.
Because, like, it sounds right to me, but also no one sounds like what they think they sound like.
No, yeah, I had to just play it in my head for a second. I was just like, what does the actual one do? My boy. But anyway, where were we at? Yes, Lego Jurassic.
So we make fun of the game because the character Ellie.
Mm. the voice actor made some interesting choices.
So if you're familiar with Lego games, you hit something and the character makes it, oh. Right? Like that kind of like impact noise. Elise is a bit racy, I would say.
Yeah, it sounds like she's enjoying punching those things a little bit too much.
I'm just doing gestures that are not for radio.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting choice.
Yeah. I'm not sure whether or not the director, vocal director, told that act to
go into. I wonder if it was like women can't make grunting noises, so they have to moan for some reason.
Yeah. I also wonder if they actually took it from, like, because they did have some of the vocals from the real movie, and they thought, didn't think that on it, when they isolate it, that it would sound so enjoyable.
No, the quality's too good, because you can, when you're playing the game, you can hear when it's from the movie and when it isn't.
Yeah.
Because it's got that sort of grainy effect, which I'm questioning because, like, when we watched the movie weeks ago now, the audio was not like that.
No.
So why didn't they have the same audio quality?
Just real quickly, I think that some of it might have been for the fact that the audio quality, they might not have had the separate vocal tracks to put into the game.
Oh, yeah. So then I think we had this conversation.
Then they might have had to try and remove the background noise because they didn't want that same background noise to be in the movie. Because they did cut and splice some scenes together and vocals that weren't quite in the same order and things like that. So it might have been that, but it also could have been that for whatever reason they didn't think. Also, because it was a Switch.
They bootlegged their version.
Maybe. Or it could just be it's the Switch, which is also plausible.
Because it was on your TV, so I was like, wait, the Switch? No, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
Video game.
Yeah, video game. Ellie's character was very excited to be going around bashing things.
Mm. Oh, I didn't start the timer.
Oh, good golly gosh.
How long have we been recording for? 5 minutes? Jesus, it's been 5 minutes already.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm looking at the
visits. Yeah, yeah. It was 12:32 or 12:33.
I'm just going to quickly add a little 20-minute timer.
Yeah. But yeah, she... I do love the Ellie character from the Jurassic Park movie, though. Because she was just, like, such a badass. Like, and, like, oh, no, just until it comes to, like, you know, like, you know
what? You're a mega fan of the Jurassic Park.
I am. Jurassic Park was one of my favourite movies as a kid, and it is still one of my favourite movies now, if not my favourite.
And I could sort of, like, take it or leave it, personally. But I think I went to see Jurassic World in cinemas.
The one
where they had the little Zorb things.
Jurassic World.
Did you ever... Okay, so I'm from Invercargill, and we had this kid zone event every year. Is that... Because you lived in Invercargill for a while, so you probably heard of it? It's like a kids-focused event, but it was pretty big. You don't know? Okay, it was like a festival thing for children. They had like...
Yeah, but I wasn't a child when I lived there.
No, I know, but it was so widely advertised. Yeah. They would put banners up around the entire town for KidZone. So I wondered if maybe you'd seen a banner or something. But
I mean, I possibly could have, but it was that long ago that...
But it's really awesome. They have like the little motor cars and the Zorbs and little paddle boats. And then they've got like... Just oh no.
Do you need your drink?
I finished it.
Oh yeah. And I don't think milk is gonna help.
We don't have milk.
And my coffee is milk.
Oh. What was I talking about? KidZone.
KidZone.
But it was just a massive, massive event. Like so I went to James Hargest High School.
Mm.
And it is the size of it was three school campuses combined, right? They would use James Hargest High School, and they would use the entire space with different activities and events. Like, it was massive.
Was it like a theme park or something?
Yeah, basically. Basically a set-up theme park for 4 days.
Does it still exist?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm gonna... I'll see if I can find – it was really awesome. I went to it a couple years ago before I moved out of Invercargill with my friend. For, you know, like the nostalgia and everything. And even as like 17, 18 year olds, we enjoyed it.
Hmm.
Oh my God. Talk over me coughing, Jesus.
I don't know what to say. All I remember, like, the closest thing that I can think of as a kid is probably the A&P show with those really run down.
I never went to that.
You're in a town. See, I lived in a small town, a rural town, so. Which you can probably guess from my rolling R's. Small rural town.
Yeah, ILT Kids Zone. Have a scroll through those images.
ILT, good old Invercargill Licensing Trust, promoting children's events. Woohoo!
No, it was a massive thing. And for what they had, because you got a ticket and you were allowed in for the whole day, right?
I mean, I recognize the logo, but I don't think I realized the extent of what it was.
Yeah, well, it was a massive thing. And, like, a lot of high schools would volunteer and, like, leadership roles for, like, experience and stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, you would pay, I think it was, like, $40 for a day pass, which, like, looking at it, you're like, oh, that's a bit steep.
Mm.
But then you actually get in there, and it's got a lot to offer, and you're not – other than, like, the food stalls, you're not charged for anything once you're in there.
Oh, that's cool.
So you're paying $40 to...
go on every ride, basically.
Yeah, like they had these like bungee trampolines and everything. And it was an incredible feat that they would set all of this up in one day and take it all down in one day.
Mm.
And it's only there for 2 weeks. I don't know where they put it for the rest of the year, but yeah.
Does it go to other towns, maybe? Maybe other towns have it?
I don't think so. I think it's just Invercargill. I'm going to look it up.
Mm.
But anyway, so we were talking about the character Ellie from the video game because you wanted to talk about
Actor. I just thought it was really interesting. The thing that I thought was kind of funny is that like, she knows the obvious. This very, she's not supposed to be making a sound that sounds like she's quite enjoying herself that much. But it comes across that way when you hear the same soundbite over and over again. And I just look, comparison to the actual character from its movie, which is like she's such a icon, and she was like such a strong-willed character.
That's right. They moved Kidzone to take place at Southland Girls High School and not James Hargest anymore. Which is weird because Southland Girls High is smaller.
Maybe it's been reduced in size.
Potentially. I imagine it's probably lost popularity because it is getting pretty steep. And if you're like a family, you don't have that kind of cash to just throw around.
And if it did get a lot less popular, then they probably wanted to like reduce the amount of rides or activities to and just go for the core favorite.
Awesome. Oh my God.
But yeah.
I'm so sick of coughing. I swear, if you listen to the last episode, I was not like this. I don't know why.
Oh my goodness. I'm just going to keep talking.
Talk over me.
I'm trying to, but it's...
I'm just so distracting.
Very difficult. And also we've segued away from Laura Dern / Ali Sadler like multiple times back to Kidzone.
Laura
Do
Dern.
I want to talk about Kidzone?
No, I'm done talking about Kidzone.
Yeah. I mean,
actually, that would have like just happened in Invercargill because it's usually the term. I'm sorry. I don't even realize.
Do you want to move back to Invercargill?
No, I want Kidzone to move up here.
Kidzone is an amusement. It's an amusement park. Jurassic Park is an amusement park. Yes. Oh look, he's talking about Ali Sadler.
People, longtime fans will know that I never go into these things with a plan. But Samuel prefers to have like an idea of what to talk about.
Not a full plan, just like kind of
and
like a.
That's
like
I said an idea of what to talk about.
What do you call it? Not a full...
A topic?
Yeah, not a full structure.
No.
But like a...
Some semblance of an idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not used to it. But you might have noticed in recent episodes we've started like having topics to talk about.
Yeah. And then we talk about amusement.
Well, that's the magic of the pod.
Okay.
That's going to be my new catchphrase, the magic
of the pod.
Say it again.
Pod.
No, the whole thing.
Magic of the pod.
What is that voice?
I don't know. I don't know where that came from. I'm so sorry about that.
Because you used to like mimic characters and stuff as a kid, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's why you can do voices.
Yeah. I haven't done it in quite a while, but my mum used to say that I would mimic a lot of the characters on TV that I watched, and she didn't realize that they had TV accents until she heard me imitating them, because I would obviously put on a different accent.
Do you want to do one for the pod?
Oh, I can't even think of anyone right now.
Do it for the pod.
Do it for the pod.
Do it for the vine.
Name a character and I'll see if I can do it.
Hermione Granger.
Is that... No, I want this.
It's Leviosa, not Leviosa.
Honestly, you're doing it all wrong. Is that really what my hair looks like from the back? I say that all the time, actually, because every single time I see a photo of myself from the back, I'm like, seriously?
I just don't look at myself, period.
Well, period. Oh, my goodness. Okay,
Anyway, Laura Dern.
Yeah, Laura Dern. Oh, look, we can... I was going to try and see if I can do her character from Jurassic Park. I'm trying to think of one of her one-liners.
Anyway, while you think of that, I only really know Laura Dern from David Lynch films, actually.
Oh.
And I was surprised when we watched Jurassic Park that she was in it. And I was like, oh, she's in something other than David Lynch. Because she was in Wild at Heart and she was in Blue Velvet, I think.
Yeah.
And those are the only two David Lynch films I've seen.
So she must be in all of the David Lynch films.
No, because it's one of those things. It's like how Tim Burton puts the Johnny Depp in What's Her Face in all the movies.
Yeah. Who's Helen and Bonham Carter, who is also in Harry Potter.
Also in Harry Potter, also in something else that I was watching.
She's in quite a few things. But yeah, she does get... But wasn't she married to Tim Burton? I think they got divorced.
I think at one point.
For quite a long time they were, but I think they got divorced.
Isn't she like, she was at some point like living in the same house as someone she was divorced with? Like they had like separate wings.
Celebrities are weird, man. Yeah.
You get to a certain point and you're just like so out of touch.
Yeah. And But yeah, I don't even know what I was going to go with Laura Dern. I just was thinking that just like
it
I was just
the thing that you said.
Yeah, I was just more specifically thinking about like the voice being like all the time. It was kind of a reduction on her character, who was quite like a feminist icon, and it was like you've reduced like a character that was like so strong willed within the Jurassic Park movies and like independent, able to save her own ass. Oh, is that count as a swear word?
No.
Okay, save her own.
But. Okay, so you sent me this 16 minutes before recording, and I was busy before now. So
it might be copyrighted. Because it's a song. They do a song. They did a song on the Oscars, and then we got the Gay Men's Choir to sing Laura Dern, Laura Dern, repeatedly, and then it was just basically a montage of Laura Dern and all of her movies and how she was a gay icon.
Gay Men's Chorus of LA, Take the Stage, 2020 Spirit Awards.
Mm.
So I don't know what that is. Yeah. You can give us the spark notes of it.
Pretty much that. I just gave the rundown.
Well, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, so I just gave the rundown then, which is like the Gay Men's Chorus. In which
I'll just continue to know.
They basically...
Don't tell me now.
Yeah. Pretend that you know. And it just got me thinking of like wondering what other gay icons...
Oh, that's right.
Icons
we
might
talk
be.
About gay icons.
Yeah. And like, yeah.
Was it Charlie XCX? Everyone's like, oh, she's a gay icon, and then disappointed when she's not queer.
Yeah. I mean, she can still be a gay icon.
That's what I'm saying. I think we discussed
this. She is definitely a gay icon. Like, and we discussed this last time. She performed with, you know, Troye Sivan, and she's always been out there, and she got Billie Eilish and everything like that. She is a gay icon. I mean, she does pop.
And it's not like she's hiding that she's straight.
No. She's just a party girl.
Yeah.
But like,
there's so much of like queer culture that is just partying.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, can be good in some ways, bad. Oh,
look, it's us on the TV.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. I drew the little radio walkie talkie that we've got.
Oh, cool.
It's the logo. I drew that at like 2 a.m. one time.
Mm. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Wait, that's the wrong song. It's 5.
Time to get a watch.
I'm thinking of the song.
There's a little TV in the studio that sort of cycles through little cards for all the shows, and we just popped up on it, and I saw it.
Yeah. The Allure. Yeah.
Laura Dern.
Where was I? Gay icons. Yeah, we're still talking about that. But I was also just interested.
So she bones Nicolas Cage in Wild at Heart.
Good for her. I'm so happy for her. Live your best life, girl.
Why does no one like Nicolas Cage? Can you tell me?
I think people do. But he's just kind of...
Okay, but when I brought it up with you, you were like, ew, Nicolas Cage.
Well, in what way do you mean not like?
Like find him cringe?
I don't know.
Like he's just an actor, isn't he?
He just seems to be an actor that is just there. Like, you know,
he's
there's...
literally the co-star of Wild at Heart.
Yeah, but what I mean is like there are some like... When you name other actors from the same time, you think name like Leonardo DiCaprio or Brad Pitt or George Clooney and things like that, or Tom Cruise, you know, they've all got their place within.
It was him in Baywatch, wasn't it?
No, that was David Hasselhoff.
Ah, right.
Well, in the original Baywatch series, was David Hasselhoff.
Right. I never saw it. I don't know.
I vaguely remember watching it as a kid, but it did not stick with me. I think it was on TV, but I don't really remember it. That's what made Pamela Anderson famous.
Right.
Also possibly another gay icon there, because she could be, to some extent. Because she's come back into the... Is it zeitgeist the right word? Come back into...
What does that even mean? Keep talking.
She's just come back into this limelight, is what I'm probably thinking of recently, because she did that movie, Showgirls, but she also stripped down and she stopped...
I haven't seen Showgirls either.
Not Showgirls, it's something else, or The Last Showgirl or something like that. Anyway, she was like her prerogative.
Zeitgeist is a movie.
It's also a word.
I know, I'm looking up the word, but it popped up in my search. The defining spirit or mood of a particular period of history as shown by the ideas and beliefs of the time.
Yes. Oh, good golly gosh.
Just dropped my phone on the keyboard, it's fine.
Yeah. But yeah, Pamela Anderson, her entire thing, like... was all about her image. You know, she was the blonde woman with the big boobs and being lots of makeup. Like, that was like her entire image, basically. And grow, you know, to a point within pop culture or within celebrity status, you know, if that's what you name for, and you kind of become part of that, and it also becomes more of your identity than what your actual identity is. Mm. So recently...
Like your persona becomes more...
Yeah, it takes over.
Yeah.
So recently when she went to a fashion awards, she went without any makeup whatsoever.
Mm. Did people recognize her?
Not really, but they did. But at the point of it was such a flip, and it was like such a, I think, a commentary on like just pop culture and celebrity status as a whole, because it was like, oh, flipping the thing. Her entire persona used to be the makeup, the beautiful blonde woman with the big boobs. And here she is without any makeup, and she's embracing who she
is. We had a recent experience with that. The reverse of it. Because we went to the art show that was on, and then a mutual – I was in drag because one of the artists had asked me to come in drag. And I was like, sweet, I'll do that. And our mutual friend came up and was like, hi, I'm friend's name. And I was like – dude, we've met before.
and then the penny dropped and it was like, oh my gosh.
And it was so funny. And then our other mutual friend came and was like looking at me funny and I could tell that he didn't recognize me. Yeah, so I kept looking at him in the eye.
Was trying to work it out.
And then it clicked for him. Oh, I love when that happens. Yeah. It's so funny.
Ah, oh, funny.
But anyway, so this lady showed up to the award show without makeup.
Yeah, Pamela Anderson.
Right.
Yeah. And it's kind of, yeah, it was like Well, it's just really, I don't know, I don't think, maybe it has more impact on me, just like that kind of really likes that whole looking at how celebrities evolve and change over time. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think, is it like in the type, for some people, they wouldn't have realized what a big statement that would have been for her to show up without any makeup at all, because they wouldn't have realized the status that she had and how much her image was a big part of who she is.
Mm.
So for her to do that, basically, kind of like a
screw you.
Yes, yeah, but also like kind of like completely just changing the narrative of who she is and what her identity is for herself as well. Yeah. Mm. And I think that's a really impressive thing that you can do if you can embrace that growing up.
Can I be quite honest with you?
Yeah.
I sort of zoned out for most of that. I'm sorry.
Fine. Well, I won't talk about celebrity status and
I'm
people.
Sorry. It's not because I'm disinterested. It's because
disassociating?
I just zoned out. And that's all it is. The undiagnosed mental illness.
Yeah.
It got me.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you say that sarcastically?
No, I wasn't being sarcastic.
It sounded like you were being sarcastic.
No, it's just that was me vocally rolling my eyes.
See, you are being sarcastic.
No, because you can roll your eyes without being sarcastic. Different expressions.
Gay icons. Who is your diva?
Well, we know my diva is Britney Spears.
Yeah, you say that, but then you also say Marina as well.
Oh, yeah, but she's beautiful. No, I just, well, no, Britney is my diva as a, like,
yeah.
And that's mainly because, like, I just have always just loved, like, well, I wasn't actually a fan of her growing up as a child.
Mm.
Like, I didn't really pay attention to music much as a kid anyway. And it wasn't until she brought out Blackout and it was like, oh. It was like her Fall from Grace and then her Rising Above and overcoming that. But also she brought out some really good dance music and she was always the princess of pop. And then for Lady Gaga to come out, who was like modern people's gay icon, to say that Britney was her inspiration growing up. So it was like... Yeah, I know.
Britney was Gaga's inspiration.
Yes.
They are nothing alike, though.
The dancing, the pop.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, Gaga took parts of what Britney did and made it her own.
Not necessarily artistically the same.
No. But it was like, you know, Lady Gaga always said, oh, she grew up watching Britney Spears perform live. She's
but
like,
that sort of performance.
That performance, yeah.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
And the theatricality of it.
Yeah.
Mm.
When you said that, I immediately thought of like artistically the same. It's like they are not.
No, yeah. The thing is, a lot of
they're both blonde.
True.
Is Gaga even naturally blonde? Is she actually brunette?
I don't know.
I think she might actually.
I mean,
I
don't even think Britney is that naturally blonde.
Oh, hers no is more like that blonde naturally.
But look, everyone actually said that Lady Gaga. They thought Lady Gaga's inspiration was more Madonna because Madonna similarly reinvented herself and did like a lot of creative choices similar to what Lady Gaga does. But then Lady Gaga herself actually came out and said, no, Madonna's not my inspiration. It was Britney Spears. But
yeah.
Mm.
And I think with that, we'll maybe segue out.
Yeah. Do we have time to do an event drop?
Yeah.
Plug?
You do your thing.
Yeah. Because this is apparently being broadcast at a time close to the next show that I'm performing in. Sam and Carla has been revived. Oh, no.
What would you think if I got, like, a soundboard for this?
A what?
A soundboard.
What do you mean?
Like a board of bites, and I just press a button, and it goes, like,
beep, beep.
Laughing crowd, and...
We can try
wah,
that.
Wah, wah, wah. Wah. I think they're really expensive, though. Anyway, plug your event.
Yeah. Okay, so...
we forgot to do this last time.
Assuming that this is going out when it is going out...
I think it's... Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So this weekend, we have an event on at Adjo, and it is The Council Needs More Variety Night, and it's... I'm just going to read the description, basically. come celebrate our wonderful Otepote creatives at an evening of music, drag, comedy and chaos hosted by your local political hopefuls. You may even see a cameo or two from them. And that is some of the candidates running for council this year. And I think it's the ones on the Green Party ticket. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that out loud, but probably because that's what it is.
Just reading the election guidelines, we can encourage listeners to vote and we can...
I won't name names then. But anyway, it's the featuring performances from the fabulous Paul Allen, Austin...
We can advertise public meetings and stuff. That's cool.
Okay. Featuring performances from the fabulous Paul Allen, Austin Powerbottom, Cap'n Spoonbill and the Hoi Ho, Caitlin Owen, the Hot Chips, Cecil...
Hoi Ho is punk, aren't they? I feel like I saw them on a punk gig poster.
Mm.
Anyway.
The Hot Chips, Cecil Turbine and Sam in Colour. Woo! He's back. So yeah, that is at Adjo on the 23rd, Saturday the 23rd of August. So hopefully,
what time?
It starts at 6 p.m., it says, and it looks like it's going quite late. So yeah, 6 p.m. at Adjo, Saturday the 23rd of August. Come see me, Austin Powerbottom, and other great local bands performing.
I feel like something else is happening on the 23rd, but I don't know what it is. Anyway, with that, we will bid you all adieu for another 2 weeks. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. Diversity Dispatch is a fortnightly show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Tune in next time on oar.org.nz or wherever you listen to your podcasts for more queer and diverse content. Over and out.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.